This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up later this month, Christian leaders from around the world will gather here in Washington, D.C. for a summit in defense of persecuted Christians around the world. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is convening the summit. Franklin Graham joins me with the details in just a moment. And the attack on Christians is not just in foreign places. It's occurring right here in the United States. Maybe not with guns and swords, but with words and policies on college campuses, in our military, and in private businesses. Today, FRC hosted a special webcast entitled Free to Believe, Defending Religious Liberty in the Land of the Free. One of those business owners, Don Vanderboon, and his ADF attorney, Greg Baylor, will be here to discuss why the Trump administration needs to issue an executive order protecting religious liberty here at home so that we can defend it abroad. Also, Texas's privacy bill, the measure that would keep men out of women's showers and restrooms, could be at risk because of the House Speaker there in the Lone Star State. One of the co-sponsors of the Senate version, Texas State Senator Donna Campbell, will join us a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home this afternoon, you can find it later. It's all archived right there at TonyPerkins.com. Also, if you're on Twitter, keep up with us at T Perkins. And by the way, let me remind you, pastors, coming up very soon, May 24th through the 26th, we'll have our annual Watchman on the Wall briefing for pastors. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, from Coptic Christians in Egypt to the land of Eden, Jonah and Daniel in Iraq, where Christians have shrunk from about 1.5 million down to less than 300,000. Christians are being persecuted at the hands of Islamic extremists at alarming rates. In response to the genocide against Christians, the World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians is being convened by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, May the 10th through the 13th, here in Washington, D.C. With us now is Franklin Graham, President and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the International Christian Relief and Evangelism Association organization known as Samaritan's Purse. Franklin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Let's talk about this summit. First, explain the focus of the summit and why you're calling these leaders together.
It's because of what's happening at an alarming rate around the world, Tony, where thousands of Christians have been killed. The rate is around 100,000 a year are being killed just for their faith. But we're seeing entire areas of the Middle East that are being eradicated. And I was just in northern Iraq over Easter and went out to the Nineveh Plain. And the Christians that were forced off out of their villages, forced off this area of the world, are not really being invited to come back now that they've been liberated, because the government of Iraq is making a deal with the Iranians so that this land will go to the Iranians. They don't want the Christians to even come back to their home, so they're not going to provide any services. They're not going to provide security for these Christian villages. But this is happening not just at the hands of Islam, but it's happening, we see, around the world where Christians, where they're the minorities, where they're being persecuted. And we just want to put a spotlight on it. I want our politicians to see what's happening, and I want the voices of these people who have been persecuted, I want their voices to be heard. I want to give them a stage for them to be able to tell their stories and do it right there in Washington, where hopefully we can see some policy changes.
Yeah, I'm not sure people realize just how significant this problem is, as you pointed out. According to the statistics compiled by the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at the Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, in 2016, 90,000 Christians throughout the world were killed for no other reason than they followed Jesus Christ. And that Right. has been growing over the last few years. And you and I have talked about this several times, but I think in large part, it's driven by the indifference toward religious freedom here at home is sending a message to the terrorists and the tyrants abroad that they're free to do as they please when it comes to Christians.
Well, that's true. I mean, we need to not only put a spotlight on what's happening around the world, but we need to put a spotlight on what's happening here in this country, where Christians are being persecuted, but in a different way. Like you said, it's not with a gun or a sword, but they're being forced out of businesses because they did not support the gay-lesbian agenda. You take the Bakers, the Kleins, who had the little bake shop out in Oregon, the family in Washington State that had the Christian pharmacy, but they refused to carry the morning after pill because they felt that was abortion. They were a Catholic family, and they lost their case before the courts. And it's over and over and over again across the country where Christians are being singled out, their businesses, because they won't support the agenda of another group of people. We need to protect that. We need to protect the Christians in this country, but abroad. And I think by putting the spotlight, Tony, it's going to help. It's not going to hurt. It's going to help get the word out and get the voices of those who have suffered to give them a platform to speak.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. Franklin Graham, my guest. We're talking about a summit coming up shortly here in Washington, D.C., a summit in defense of persecuted Christians around the world. And Franklin, you're going to have about 125 Christians that have been persecuted for their faith who will be at this summit and tell their stories and share this. What do you hope will be the outcome?
Well, first of all, we need to have this administration work for legislation that will protect Christians. And this is what I hope, a religious freedom bill that will protect the Christian faith. But I want, Tony, we have 600 delegates coming, 137 countries. And then these 130 are actually people that have suffered for their faith. They've been in prison. They've been put in jail. We even have some of the family members of the martyrs of the Egyptian Coptics who had their heads cut off on that Libyan beach a few years ago and was videoed to the world. Some of their family members will be there to tell their stories. But I want people to see a face and to be able to shake hands and sit down and talk with some of these people. We have meetings up on the Hill. We have some congressmen and senators who plan to attend. We have some media people who will be attending. And we hope we'll have the ears of the administration as well.
Franklin, when you mentioned during Easter you were in northern Iraq, and as you're meeting with some of these Christians, many of them in refugee camps trying to find safe places right now, is there a sense that America is with them, or what's the sense among Christians in these desperate situations? What are they looking for, and what do they think is coming from America?
First of all, everybody would like to be able to go home. But you have to understand, Tony, when the Christians lost their homes, and the ISIS took them in of a plane without firing a shot, they came in large numbers, went right into the city. They went straight to the mosque, and they told the imams to announce over the loudspeakers for the Christians had 30 minutes to leave, or they had an hour to leave, and otherwise they would be killed. And for those that did not leave, they were killed. For those the women that could not get away, they were taken as slaves, and they were raped. The people fled for their lives and left everything in their homes, only took what was on their backs. They had 30 minutes to run. And then the Muslims took their homes and took their belongings, and they pilfered these not only the homes in Mosul, but the Christian villages between Mosul and Erbil. A number of Christian villages were ransacked. Now, talking to the Christians in these refugee camps, they all want to go home, Tony. But it was their own neighbors that came, knocked on their door and said, you've got 30 minutes to get out of here, otherwise we're going to kill you. These are people that they had grown up with, people that they had gone over to their house and had a meal with. And then to have this type of betrayal, they said, we will not go back. We cannot go back unless there is security and we have protection. And right now, it doesn't look like the Iraqi government is going to do that for these people, because they don't want them to return. They want the land. They want these villages. And the Iranians, Tony, the Iranians are there to fight ISIS. There's a large Iranian army inside of Iraq fighting alongside the Iraqi army that we're supporting. And the Iranian militias that we have run into have said, we are here to kill ISIS, and after we kill ISIS, we are going to kill Americans. And so we're just trading one form of Islamic extremism for another.
Is there a sense among our brothers and sisters in the Middle East that are being persecuted that America, Christians in America, once again care, or are they seeing evidence that there's been a change from the previous administration to the current one? Has that gotten to them yet?
I think there is hope because they see American soldiers on the ground in different places. They hear the aircraft. While I was in Mosul, you could hear the American fighters overhead constantly. So there is hope for the people on the ground that maybe there will be a solution. But this is going to have to be a big focal point for this administration, because the Iraqi government right now it needs to do something to protect the Christians and allow them to go back to their homes and allow them to go back to their land.
Franklin, before I let you go, let me ask a very practical question for our listeners across the country. What do Christians in America need to do now to stand up for their persecuted brothers and sisters?
Well, I think the greatest thing we have, the greatest weapon we have in our arsenal is prayer. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world, but be praying for our president that God would put upon his heart and give him wisdom as what executive orders and what legislation that he can work with Congress on that would help protect Christian minorities around the world. Because, you know, we don't have to do business with these countries that persecute Christians. We don't have to give them foreign aid. There's a lot of things that we can do to bring pressure, but the greatest thing that we can do is pray, and I would encourage Christians to pray.
Without question. And if I can shift gears before I let you go, Franklin, put your Samaritan's Purse hat on. One of the families, in fact, the Morgan family that you visited with when you were down in Baton Rouge at our church, and the vice president who was a nominee and the president, Mr. Trump, we visited the home of the Morgans. Well, this afternoon, in fact, about right now, they're rededicating their home that Samaritan's Purse helped them rebuild right outside of Baton Rouge. And just want to say thanks to you and Samaritan's Purse for the tremendous aid that you've given to the Baton Rouge area in wake of the floods that we had last August.
Well, Tony, it's just a privilege to be able to be a part of that and to be able to help and to do it in Jesus' name. And, of course, everything that we do, Tony, we want to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to elevate his name above all names.
And that's exactly what you do. Franklin, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, folks, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And look, we got to be praying. Got to be praying, standing, advocating for those who do not have a voice. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about a special webcast we had here today at the Family Research Council on this issue of religious freedom here at home and why we need this administration to act. That's coming up next, right here on Washington Watch.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order your family's copy today at afastore.net.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. All we can do is pray. Shame on us. We've heard it stated many times before. And if you're like me, you've probably said it yourself as we witness the political division and the moral disintegration of our nation. Many feel helpless knowing there's little we can do to affect the outcome. And so we say all we can do is pray. Yet, instead of being the last resort, prayer is the most important thing we can do. Whether God allows the consequences of sin to prevail in our nation or in His mercy chooses to bless us once again, we know that the Lord is sovereign over all. This week, Thursday, is the National Day of Prayer. Check with your local church or community calendar for a location to join in fervent prayer on that day. Remember to pray every day as we find our refuge in Him. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, religious freedom, been talking about it internationally. But of course, the issue starts right here at home. Religious freedom. It's our first freedom, a fundamental freedom that we have to protect. And when we fail to protect it here at home, it makes it very difficult for us to advocate for it abroad. And if we find our own government being hostile to religious freedom here in America, well, how in the world will anybody pay attention to them when they're trying to advocate for religious freedom abroad? Well, one of the cases that came to my attention, and I've talked about it on the program here because it was just outrageous. It was a case involving Don Vanderboon. His family has been in the meatpacking and processing business for over a half century. Starting with his father after he returned from World War II, they've been running their businesses according to their Christian faith. That was up until just a couple of years ago when the federal government decided to butcher the family's First Amendment freedoms. Joining me now to share his story is Don Vanderboon. Along with Don is Greg Baylor with Alliance Defending Freedom. Gentlemen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, Greg, I appreciate all the work ADF does. And this is, frankly, an amazing, shocking, I should say, story. Don, share with our listeners what happened to you a couple of years ago in your small business there in West Michigan.
Yeah, so I have a small beef processing business that's near Grand Rapids, Michigan. And in our business, in our break room, it's become practice for some of the employees to bring in a newspaper or magazine to share with the other employees. And that's been going on for many years. And we run our business according to our Christian principles as a Christian business. And I also would put articles down on the table from time to time. And around the time of the same-sex marriage decision in 2015, I saw an article on the internet that gave some biblical reasons for not supporting same-sex marriage and gave God's plan, the biblical plan for marriage. So I printed it out and put it on my break room table so I would give the other side to some of the arguments I had seen in the newspapers that were quite supportive of it. And so after I had done that, Then within 2 or 3 hours later that morning, I was called into my office, and when I came into my office, there was my USDA inspector, who's in my business all day, every day, along with his boss, he had called him, and they proceeded to take this article I had printed and put it on the table in my office and told me if I was going to leave that article on my break room table, then they would withdraw inspection from my facility, and they weren't willing to allow their employees to work in my business.
Now, let me explain to our listeners what that means. First off, these are inspectors that are in your private business, but you're required by the government to have inspectors there to watch everything that you do for the health and safety reasons. But if they pull those inspectors, that pulls the plug on your business.
Yes, everything we do has to be inspected and passed with a USDA stamp of approval. So if I can't have that, I can't sell anything that I produce.
Greg Baylor, ADF represents Don in this case. I mean, what did you think when you first heard of this case? Did you think that maybe someone was exaggerating somehow? Because this really does sound unbelievable.
You really got to wonder. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and it's pretty hard to shock me, but this one was really shocking. I mean, this is a textbook violation not only of religious liberty, but of our free speech rights. I mean, you get to say what you want to say, even about controversial issues. And the Department of Agriculture under the previous administration had issued this policy that says we're not going to allow for harassment in places of business that are regulated by the USDA. Well, it's one thing to say, you know, we're to be against harassment. Harassment isn't
right.
A good thing. But when you interpret that so broadly to mean anything that anyone says that might offend another person, well, that goes way too far. Our free speech clause does not permit that. And what the government's done here is really shocking, and hope we come to an end soon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like, all right, we're talking about school property or a government business or a government building. This is a private business. Don, you have about 45 employees, small
yes.
business. You own it. You run it. Your employees, did any of them complain about this?
No, my employees never have had any problem with that.
In fact, you are known to be a Christian company.
Yes.
I mean, on your website, you say that as a company, you seek to do everything to glorify God.
Yes, that's correct. And we try to be open with our faith to all our employees.
And that's the way your family's been doing business for over 60 years.
Yes.
I mean, Greg, if this is allowed to stand and continue, I mean, what is beyond the reach of the federal government and their hostile view toward religion?
Yeah, I mean, the principle that's reflected by this action really is remarkable. I think some in the government, too many in the government and in our culture, have gotten to the point where they no longer respect the value of free speech and free exercise of religion. And they, instead of saying we have a right to exercise our religion, instead of saying we have a right to express our faith, there's somehow this superior right to be protected from anything that you might disagree with, anything that you might find offensive. And if it's the government itself using its authority to punish businesses like Don's, that does not speak well for our future in America.
Don, did you ever think that you would be in the middle of a controversy surrounding religious freedom?
No, never. I was completely shocked when I didn't know what I had done wrong when the inspectors were in my office, and I knew something was happening, but that was the last thing I ever thought I would be called in my office for, was because of some article I put on my break room table.
So how has this affected you and your family, Don, as you've walked through this for now about 2 years?
It's really made me appreciate the religious freedoms that we have and that we enjoyed, and I took them for granted that was something that I would enjoy and my children would enjoy, and now I'm finding it's something we have to fight for, or we're going to lose them.
Mm. And Greg, this is an example of what an executive order on religious liberty would correct. Under this administration can make this thing go away overnight with an executive order.
They could, and they absolutely should. I mean, one of the tragedies of this story is that the USDA went after Don and his business in 2015, and we're still waiting for them to do the right thing and fix it. Now, there's been a changeover in administration. We're hopeful that that will cause things to change, but one of the ways that this can be fixed is by the kind of executive order that many have been advocating for and discussing. We hope it happens and happens soon.
Well, folks, I believe it will. You can help it. You can help make it happen real quick. Go to TonyPerkins.com and sign the petition. Greg, Don, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
So we're getting some upbeat economic data coming out of Asia and Europe. The Eurozone certainly looks pretty good. We're seeing European stocks getting a lift from upbeat factory data as well as Greek bailout deal. A Greek bailout deal finally signed by Greece. Part of this is going to include the fact that they are going to have to cut some of their outlays, some of their debt. I don't know how they're going to do that because they keep getting in more debt with every bailout. Makes no sense. They can't afford to pay all the interest on all the bailout money they've received, and that interest payment continues to grow with each and every bailout. But nonetheless, that's one of the reasons why European data is looking pretty good. Eurozone jobless count has fallen to the smallest it has seen in more than a year, and UK factory activity grows in the fastest it's seen in 3 years. Asia markets get a lift from a rally in tech stocks. Not only the rally in tech stocks here in the U.S., but of course, those same tech companies give kind of a shot in the arm to the regional technology companies there in Asia. So we're seeing some upbeat data coming out of that as well. Okay, here's the thing. We're talking about infrastructure here in the U.S. It looks like we're getting closer to some sort of infrastructure bill. That's great. I'm glad we're doing it. We need to do it. But here's the problem. We're not talking about debt. We're creating an enormous amount of debt. Yes, I am in the camp that growth is going to solve a lot of our debt woes, but we at least have to talk about it as we move forward.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. In January, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick filed Senate Bill, or he was promoting Senate Bill 6 through the Texas Senate. It was the Texas Privacy Act. It's legislation that calls for the, I know this is pretty far out there, but the practice that men and women should use separate showers and locker rooms. I know that's pretty crazy. Well, they have a House version. It's kind of stalled over there, but there's a few days still left in which this measure can move through. And we're joined now by one of the co-sponsors. We're going to be joined in just a moment. I'm told she's not yet with us. Senator Donna Campbell from Texas. She was one of the original authors of this bill, co-authors of the bill. She is a certified emergency room physician and a retired ophthalmologist. In 2012, she became just the 15th woman ever elected to serve in the Texas Senate, and she joins me now. Senator Campbell, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, how many days left in your session there in Texas?
Oh, we just have till the 29th of this month. So we're moving along quite a bit.
So the clock is ticking. What are the prospects for SB 6, the Texas Privacy Act, but a version similar to it? What are the prospects of that making its way through the process now?
Well, that's hard to say. We sure moved it through the Senate, but we are still working on trying to get it through the House. So, we sent it over there March the 15th, so that the House could consider it. But right now, our bill hasn't even been referred to a committee.
Now, this is something that, clearly the polling shows that a majority of Texans support this bill.
Yes. A poll showed about 69% of Texans do support this bill. So overwhelmingly a majority, both Democrats, Republicans, Hispanics, African-Americans, Anglos, men, women. The only people who really oppose it are white liberals. They oppose the Texas Privacy Act.
So in order for the citizens to have their way in this, and that is to protect women and children and others, what has to happen now? What do they need to do?
Well, they have we have to have a bill. It has to come out. It has to be passed. Otherwise, schools go on operating independently and do what they want. It would be a kind of a helter-skelter type of policy from one district to another. It has to come out as a bill for the governor to sign.
So at this point, is the best vehicle the Senate bill that's sitting over there, or is it the House version of the bill that was introduced? It has had a committee hearing, but yet to receive a vote out of the committee, and that's House Bill 2899. Should people be calling their representatives and asking them to move this bill forward?
Yes. Anything helps. You're right on the House bill. It's Representative Simmons. It just needs help to push it through. It's been referred to a committee, but not voted on yet, and it is needed. And the community applying pressure to all of their local representatives, and then the local representatives apply pressure to the powers that be to try to move it through.
All right. Well, we'll certainly do that. In fact, we'll give out the phone number here in just a bit for people to make that call to the Texas switchboard. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you stopping by today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Call anytime. We are happy to help you.
Happy to
talk with everybody.
Great. Thank you, Senator Donna Campbell from Texas. All right. Here's the speaker's number, and really it's kind of the speaker that's holding this up, Speaker Strauss. The phone number is 512. For those of you in Texas, 512-463-1000. 512-463-1000. That's how our government works. If they don't hear from you, they're not going to sense that this is a priority from you and a priority for you. So you got to communicate with them. You got to let them know that, hey, you need to move. And, you know, there has been from the beginning reluctance from Speaker Strauss on this. He's been dragging his feet. I think it's intentional to try to run the clock out. So if you're in Texas, call the speaker, 512-463-1000, or the chairman of the committee that is currently sitting on the House version of the bill, and that is HB 2899. Chairman Cook, here's his phone number, 512-463-0730. 512-463-0730. Now, I'll try to get those numbers up on the website. If you didn't catch those, you're driving. You can go to TonyPerkins.com and we'll get that contact information up there for you. All right. Hey, don't go anywhere. There's still more Washington Watch to come. On the other side of the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls here on this Tuesday afternoon. Go ahead, if you don't have this committed to memory or in speed dial, 866-372-7234. We're going to open up the phone lines when we get back. After these messages, again, let me remind you, the pastor's, the Watchman on the Wall. I'll get it here in a moment. Watchman on the Wall, pastor's briefing, May 24th through the 26th. Information at TonyPerkins.com. All right, we'll see you back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. We're coming back.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Heavenly Father.
The 66th annual observance of the National Day of Prayer is Thursday, May 4th. It's a day when people of faith all across America will gather for one important purpose, to pray.
Hear our cry, O God, and pour out.
The American Family Association encourages you to meet at your city hall from 1220 to 1240 local time to plead with God for a spiritual awakening in our country.
We pray with expectant faith in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Are you at a point in your life where you're running so fast you don't even have time to think about sharing your faith, leave alone pray and study God's Word? Surely God must understand. The problem is, He understands all too well. He understands that whatever it is that's keeping you so busy is more important to you than His purpose for making you. It's important to put it into perspective that anything that takes your attention away from God has become your God. And when that happens, you've surrendered all the blessings He's promised to those who live for Him and His purpose. You're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. You're missing out on all the fun of being a Christian, all the rewards that come with it. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everybody you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is Small Business Week. And small businesses really drive our economy, employ most of the American workers. You know, you hear about, see the big companies, but there's a lot more small businesses. In fact, they, as I said, they're the primary employer of Americans. So we just had Don Vanderboon on. We were talking with him earlier. And so this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk with some of you small business owners or those who work in small business and, you know, how those businesses, how you may run your business in a way that honors God. Do you believe that as a Christian, when you operate a business, that you should do so in accordance with your Christian faith? I mean, is that, and maybe you have some examples of how you do that. As I mentioned with Don, they actually have it on their website. Many businesses have statements of faith. They have scripture posted on walls. They pray with their employees. Some businesses have chaplains, full-time chaplains, you know, the bigger companies. Some have part-time. So, like some examples. And as a small business owner, how you operate your business, or if you're in a small business and they operate it according to biblical principles in a way that honors God, how do they do that? Share that with us. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And this is what we've got to protect. And that's why we've been advocating for an executive order from this administration to try to undo the damage that was done by Barack Obama and his administration that was outright hostile to, and not indifferent, hostile toward religious freedom in this country. And as we talked about, religious freedom is not what, you know, the former president described as freedom of worship, meaning, you know, what church you went to, or if you went to a church, or the type of worship you did on a Sunday morning or Saturday. But the freedom of religion is the ability to live your life according to your faith. And that means in your business. So 866-372-7234. And I want to give a little context earlier. I mentioned as I was wrapping up my interview with Franklin, kind of running out of time. But Samaritan's Purse, I've been pastoring a church in Baton Rouge since prior to the flood as the interim pastor, Greenville Springs Baptist Church. You've heard me talk about it. But we've been the host of Samaritan's Purse since 2 days after the flood. Franklin was one of the first people I called when we were still out of our home because our home flooded. And within 2 days, they were literally set up, and they've been there ever since. In one of the homes, when we had invited then-candidate Donald Trump to come down and visit, and he did within 5 days of the flood, and the vice president, now vice president, Mike Pence, came with him. And they came to the church, and then we went out and we toured the area, and we went to one of the homes, the Morgans, Jimmy and Olive Morgan, elderly couple, older couple. And in fact, they had to be rescued off their roof of their house. The floodwaters are so high. And Samaritan First came in and gutted out their house. In fact, we were there with Franklin, with Mike Pence and Donald Trump as they were hauling out the waterlogged stuff. Well, today, the Morgans are back in their home. Again, the Samaritan's Purse there helping rebuild that home, and today they rededicated their home and are back in it. Unfortunately, I can't be there. I'm in D.C., but that was the context with my comment with Franklin Graham. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to South Carolina where Pete is on the line. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks. I started calling 2 days in a row. I didn't mean to do that 2 days ago, but it's a good topic. Going back 35 years ago, I had a small house cleaning business with my former wife, and then I started a landscaping business. Actually, I started a landscaping business first, and we did the house cleaning in the winter. And I ran that for almost 25 years, and 10 years ago, I helped my mom move south. I started a business making timeline of American history called History Strips. And the American Family Association ran a little spot on it in their journal back in October of 13, which is very nice, ran the wall spot, one of my charts. And then 6 years ago, I started an endeavor to teach the Declaration of Independence, which I've memorized in its entirety and have recited out loud in full at least 1,200 times over the last 5 or so years. That's called the Drums of Freedom. I actually mix music with the presentation to get people to actually show up. It's amazing, the disinterest in something that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I teach the Declaration of Independence. It's called the Drums of Freedom. I have one sample drum clip on YouTube. If you search the Drums of Freedom and then promo clip one, clip the word clip and the number one, it's something like 30 seconds long. And then last year I showed something. It's called Teach Our Christian Heritage. And I am yet to get this really going because I'm just busy with the other things and pretty much in survival mode since my mom passed. But anyway, and listen, man, please give me a call anytime about any one of those, and I'll be glad to talk to you.
All right, Pete. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate your listening. Whatever opportunities we have, whether it be business, starting a business, running a business, working in a business, Scripture says that we should do all things to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do all things is under the Lord. Let's go to Virginia, where Tom is on the line. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's up, Tom? How are you doing today?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to comment about what you're talking about. I listen to y'all every day. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you.
My wife has just taken over a business. Here in Virginia, a small bakery. It's been in the family for about 50 some years probably, and it's a baker. She does professional wedding cakes, and I'm on Facebook quite frequently, and somebody posted a link on Facebook that said Jesus hung out with publicans and sinners. And what's the problem with building a wedding cake for somebody that's a sinner, and I think about that those people need to be ministered to. And I think it's a prime opportunity to minister to somebody that's being so deceived as such as they are.
Well, I think, in fact, most of the bakers and the florists and those that we've had on the program, I mean, they don't have an issue with selling or, working with them. In fact, Arlene's a florist up in Washington State, they would sell the flowers. They just wouldn't make the arrangement for a wedding. They felt like drawing the line and using their artistic and creative ability for something that was sacred. You know, so I think that it was not the issue of doing business with him. It was actually participating and being a part of something that, quite frankly, is sacred. And God, or Jesus himself, defined what marriage was. And so engaging in something that was counter to that, I think many Christians find that as problematic, being forced to do that against their will. So I think that's more the issue.
If it's against somebody's will and their conscience for them to engage in something so sacred as making a flower arrangement, what's the difference between having a lesbian couple come to your church and participate in the worship?
Well, I think it's different from a standpoint of our churches are invited. We invite everybody to come in. They come in as they are. Hopefully, they'll leave changed by the truth. But to force a Christian business owner to engage in something that, number one, they don't want to do, but two, the reason they don't want to do it is because it runs counter to their faith, their Christian faith, their Orthodox faith, not something that they've just kind of dreamt up, something they just kind of came up with, but something that's longstanding been the definition of marriage. I think, look, where is the freedom in that?
I understand not, you know, it's wrong to force somebody like that, but I think Christians should look at it as an opportunity, a prime opportunity to minister and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, because Jesus loves them just the same way. I mean, we should love them just the same way Jesus does. And I think denying...
Let me ask you that, Tom. Do you think Jesus, you know, would have gone to a same-sex wedding and turned the water into wine at a same-sex wedding?
That's a good question. And that's something that I will certainly ponder in my heart. Possibly not.
I don't think he would have, because in Matthew chapter 19, when discussing marriage, he says, "Have you not read from the beginning that God created them male and female, and for that reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." He was not confused about gender, nor what the compilation or the composition, I should say, of marriage. It was a man and a woman. Now, it's not an issue of sinners. I mean, we are to engage love, to respect, but we have to draw the line. I mean, I won't marry, and I'm an ordained minister. I have a policy. I don't marry couples, first off, unless they get a covenant marriage in the state of Louisiana. But also, if they have, if they're divorced under other than biblical grounds, and it was since their salvation experience, I'm just not going to do that because it runs counter to what Scripture says. Now, should I be forced to marry two people who have maybe somebody who was in adultery and in an adulterous relationship while they were married? Should I be forced to participate in the wedding of that second marriage? I don't think so. We have allowed the culture to create this, sympathy for this one configuration of behavior that is outside the norm and contrary to Scripture. So anyway, Tom, give that some thought. I mean, I certainly am in agreement with you about loving, about communicating with and sharing the gospel with and in any form or fashion that we can to reach out and to love them. As Ms. Stutzman at Arlene's Florist, you know, would say, look, I love them, and I still love them, even though when she refused to participate in that same-sex wedding, they came after her and literally working to take away her business and her home, but she still loves them, as we should. Tom, thanks so much for the call. Great comment. All right, let's go to Texas, where Kat is on the line. Kat, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, so that was a very interesting call you just finished. I'm a small business owner. I'm actually very small. I'm a professional dog trainer that goes to people's homes And I do several things to bring the Bible into it. Number one, first and foremost, just how I run my business. I believe in giving the client what they're looking for and tenfold more. You know, I basically, you know, a lot of people say give them as little as possible while still seeming to meet customer satisfaction. I believe it should be exact opposite. You give them as much as they're looking for and then even more. I also make darn sure, and this is a big one for me, that the doors are closed on Sundays. You know, that to me is just a really big deal. Then the other thing I do, in actuality, my whole occupation is straight out ministry. I will sugarcoat it some for non-Christians because I do believe in the whole scripture of Proverbs 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded and a gentle tongue can break a bone. But really, I bring the Bible into it because the way I train really, it's based on two scriptures. Train up a child in the way they should go when they're old and not depart from it, and spare the rod, spoil the child. And I bring that up, and I also bring up the fact that, you know, really, if it's done correctly, the relationship between us and a dog is exactly designed to mirror the relationship between us and God. You know, the reality is God is a benevolent dictator. We need to do what he says, but he's good. And it's the exact same thing if you look at it the other way. You know, we as an owner need to be a benevolent dictator, but we're good. We have the animal's best interest at heart. You know, and it really lends to open up avenues of conversation, you know, and find out, you know, where people are, you know, spiritually and, you know, possibly, you know, get a chance to lead some people to Christ. In fact, I will tell you, my cousin came to Christ specifically because of us training her dog. You know, God gave her that dog specifically to lead her to Christ. So that's basically it. It's pretty awesome.
Well, Kat, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, you go by Kat and you're a dog trainer. I'll leave that alone. Let me go back to what you said about the Word, okay, about using the Bible. That is a key point. And I hit on this probably every Sunday with my congregation. It's God says, my Word will not return unto me void. It's not, you know, our take on it. It's not all, and preaching is important. I mean, how will they believe unless they first hear? Preaching is good, but it has to be centered on the Word of God. The Word of God has to be central. And so that's why it's so important, Kat, as you were talking about, you bring that into your business. And I've been in businesses, Christian businesses, they have scripture on the wall, they have devotionals where the Word of God is presented, they have chapel services where the Word is presented. That's critical. We need to be free to do that. Speaking the truth, as Ephesians 4 says, speaking the truth, speaking it in love, but the truth nonetheless in the Word of God is truth. Kat, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the call. Some interesting conversations today. Well, Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, you know what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.